for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday morning, December the 28th, 2010. Clement Humbard is the speaker of the morning, teaching on I Am Because He Is. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
We're living in the most exciting time that this world has ever seen. Now, I said a little while ago that we become peace, and a lady here says, oh, I got to... Please forgive me for using you, but I just got to have peace. We get our catchers. We push and shove and all, and let her go down backwards. She gets up and goes out and has a flat tire. All at once, she's lost her peace. She didn't have it. Oh, you may have felt better at the time. Oh, thank God, yes, I got peace. Then she gets another call from home, and it's worse than the first call. Then she runs across a relative. Oh, I didn't know you were here. Yeah, I'm here at the camp. Oh, that. And they blackguard your testimony and say, you always were a little off, going overboard on religion, one of those religion fanatics. You don't have good New Testament Christianity unless some of your relatives and friends think you are a religious fanatic. You don't have the real thing. Because it's not of this world. It is entirely different from this world. So you see the difference? You take the psalmist. You take the few little scriptures I've given you. As he is, so are we in this world. We're partaker of the divine nature. That's what 2 Peter 1:4 said. God is a God of peace. Then we start confessing, I am peace. I've made peace with God. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. The peace of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Then through the Word, through the minister's spirit and the grace of God and in Jesus' name, I am peace. Now, all of hell can... This works. I've practiced in my life for over half a century, and it absolutely works. I don't try to get peace. I am a partaker of the divine nature of God, and God is a God of peace, and I am a partaker of that divine nature. I am peace. See, if you'll confess it and start speaking it, it'll happen. Go before a mirror, if that'll help. Look yourself in the eye, lift your hand and say, as He is, so am I in this present world. He's the God of peace, then I am peace. And repeat it. You'll find it works. Then the devil used to come and condemn me because when I was young, I didn't tell anyone this, but we are so busy in radio and television that the like 425 stations a day and meetings every night, I think this stretch was 21 years, that I'd get an alarm clock and go and set it for 1 hour and make myself get on my knees and pray as a young man. Anytime my mind wandered off, I didn't know to grab that and pray about it, but I'd go and set the alarm clock back at the beginning. I had to keep 1 hour of unbroken prayer. Well, finally, through the travels and all the rest and doing short-term missionary work in 6 feet of snow in Alaska and sometimes out in the desert and wilderness and what have you, and even tribes that had never heard the gospel, sometimes the devil comes and say, aha, you didn't spend your hour in prayer today. Well, you see, I whip that... The Holy Spirit convicts. The devil accuses and condemns. So finally, I was too wise for that. I said, wait a minute, Satan, just a moment. You don't know who you're dealing with. I'm a child of God. I am a born-again believer. I'm a partaker of the divine nature. You don't know what you're saying. I am prayer. My whole life is a prayer unto God. You see? Then back in 1 John, 4th chapter, God is love. See? Don't let your feelings get all flirted up. Things. Jesus said, offenses will come. Jesus said, blessed are you. Now listen to this. And in the original there, it implies the, what do they call it? Jehoshaphat leap. Rejoice, it meant, and leap for joy when all hell turns loose. That's what Jesus said there on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are you when men revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you. One of the speakers they have here at the camp, a certain man from out of state, loved me and my ministry. And this man, when he talked with this former speaker that here at the camp, he said, oh, don't have nothing to do with that Clement Humbard. They're snooty. They think they're better than everybody else. Now listen to this. If you're a divider of the brethren, you better start keeping your repent and keep your mouth shut. There's so many second and third person offenses in the kingdom of God. Good Lord. It's a disgrace. First and second, third offenses. My wife here, someone had to know this week, how long y'all been married? First thing, it's none of your business how long we've been married. Why don't we mind our own business? But I said, how long does it seem or how long? I said, well, I'll give you a figure, 30 years. Is that enough for you? But she, I'll tell you, it's unbelievable. I've seen her prepare a gourmet meal for 41 people. But she says that's not her ministry or her calling. But there's one thing that she's believing for and it hasn't happened. She's allergic to cats. I told her, then let's ask God to give us enough sense to stay away from cats. You see? Not that I don't believe God. God can take care of allergies. My nephew was dying after going into Cleveland Clinic and they did 1,500 tests, they said, on his back of allergies. He still couldn't eat, drink, water, or anything. He's a teenager. God said early that morning, Buddy Jones is going to die today. I said, no, Lord. You say, do you know when people die? Yes, many of them. I call long distance, told my sister exactly when my mother's going to die. She didn't believe me. She called back a half hour later and said, boy, you scared me, Clement. I said, I got in my car and drove all the way across town. Truck with them there and a head nurse and all. And they said, oh, no, she's doing better than she ever has. She says, I think 87. Leona called back and I said, well, I'm sorry, Leona. God said she's coming home today. So she hung up. Guess what? The phone rang about a half hour and she says, Clement. She's crying. She said, you were right. Mom passed away. But they said, Buddy's going to die. I got in my car and drove 60 miles. And you know what? Absolutely no visitors. Well, Brother Clement, God, I know God can do it. He's not. Our God is not limited by time, space, or law, or natural law. We know that, or distance. We know that. But when God impresses you to go and anoint someone with oil or lay hands on them, you better try to do it. So, then his dad is a Hot Springs boy. He says, absolutely not. You're not going. I said, Wayne, any place a medical doctor goes, I can go. I've never been in the way. I've never been ordered out. I've been right in the operating room and holding people in blood all over the floor, holding them down while doctors perform. They invited me to. They knew I stayed out of the way. I'd get the mop and mop the blood so they wouldn't have to wait in it. And I said, Wayne, you know what the ministry involves. I go in constant care units and all. I'm usually there 5 or 10 seconds. My longest hospital visit usually is 2 minutes. Let someone else come and pinch their toe and give them a joke. I'm there to minister through the mercy of God, the healing virtue, and I ask for permission to lightly touch them or to anoint them with oil. I do my job and slip out. Most hospital patients that I have visited for 70 years didn't even know when I left the hospital room. Said, nurse, where's that preacher's here? I did my thing. Let others do the greetings and the nicety and all and so forth and so on. You and I ought to feel like that we are men and women from another world with a mission from another world. We ought to feel the net of the Holy Spirit like a silver net around us. We're not better than anybody. We walk humbly and meekly before God, but you and I are different than the world and the so-called church today. Be different. So his father said, well, you're not going in there. Well, I know how to submit to authority. I waited. I prayed. Finally, Leona said, Clement, I'm sorry that Wayne made such a scene. I said, forget it. Finally, Leona came and said, go in and pray for Buddy. I slipped in there and I was in there about 30 seconds, whispering in his ear. I got in my car and drove back 60 miles. When I was in the driveway, I could hear the phone ringing inside the house. Is Leona. They said that Buddy might... Well, actually, Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio had sent him home to die. Is Leona. Said, Clement, you won't believe this. I said, try me. Said, you know more and got out of the driveway or got started on your trip back. And said, Buddy, sit up in bed and call with a loud voice. Mother! She come running. He said, you know Howard Johnson's over there? Miss So-and-so is the cashier, but she knows how I like my cheeseburger and fries and shake. Said, go and get me a big cheeseburger prepared like I always like it. She said, Buddy, you can't even take a sip of water. Up it comes. She said, well, they said he's dying anyway. Let him die with a full stomach if he can keep it down. So she ran over and got the cheeseburger and the fries and the shake. He glubbed it all down. 2 weeks later, he is on his first deer hunt in his life, and believe it or not, he brought back a deer. God raised him up, and I'll supernaturally... See, it can take 6 weeks for a broken arm, a broken leg. That's the God of nature. But the Lord God over nature can speak, and that bone in 6 seconds. And you can take x-rays. We had it happen right here in Little Rock with the little gray daughter. And she demanded they take the cast off. They got the x-rays yesterday afternoon after a fall on the bicycle, a broken arm, and they studied it, and they put the cast on, so forth. They had to cut it off the next day. The little girl was completely well. Our God is unlimited by time, space, or natural law. And God is a good God. Now, I want you, please... The way the light is shining here, I can't tell the time, forgive me. I want you to understand what I was talking about, identification of the I Am. Look, how many believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Now watch. He is the Son, but I am a Son of God. The Bible said, in Him was light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1, first chapter John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. All things are made by Him. Without Him was not made anything that was made. In Him was light, and that light was the life of man. The light shineth in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. Later, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the light of the world. But He said to His believers, let your light so shine. Ye are lights in this world. Lift your hand and say, I'm a child of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the light of the world. But I am a light in the world. I am peace. I am love. I am faith. I am joy. Thank you. In Psalms 27, it said, give God the sacrifice of joy. There's a sacrifice of the human body. I therefore, brethren, beseech you by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, a sacrifice to be burned up. Be not conformed, run the course of this age, but be you metamorphosed, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that which is good and acceptable and the will of God. It's the will of God, and it's good, and it's acceptable that we offer our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Then we give Him the sacrifice of praises, right? Even if you don't... Now, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be guilty of taking God's name in vain. But sometime when you don't feel like praising God, go by faith. That's the difference. You're not hypocritical. You're not saying something and don't mean it. If you are, you better be careful. But you say, Lord, now you help me. In other words, you've got to give the Holy Spirit many times a beachhead, something to work with. You see? It won't stay that static condition. But, see, now in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it said, he that knew no sin, who is that? Christ, Jesus. He that knew no sin became sin. Look at this. Became the very principle of sin. When Christ died upon the cross and darkness covered the universe, all hell, all heaven could point toward Calvary and say, there is sin. The very principle. He that knew no sin became sin that we might become what? The righteousness of God. Now, you say, well, I'm really not quite that far, the right. Then you'll never be unless you start claiming it and mean it. Hunger and thirst for God, but you're claiming it. See? And you have to say it and speak it over yourself. So when people say, oh, your age, I always have to say, forever young. God said He'd renew my youth like the eagles. That's God's Word. All right? But you may not feel righteous of God, but you step out by faith, and you will. Did you know that you're not really saved until you confess you're saved? Sometimes it's instant or together. I'll give you an instant. I preached in a large church in Dallas, Texas. People came for salvation. I walked among the workers. They were highly organized, and they knew what they were doing. But a handsome young man, all dressed up to go to church, he's shaking his head, and a personal worker said, would you come? And I said, certainly. I knelt down by him. He said, I'm a minister's son here in Dallas, but I just can't believe. And I said, did you ask God to forgive you your sin. You really repented. Well, I tried, so forth. So I didn't embarrass him, but I... See, I can't win everybody to God. You can. One time I was dealing with an important businessman. I got nowhere. And he asked for my help. But a young convert standing there said, I want to say, I said, certainly. And I said, forgive me. I want to go to the next person. But you know that young convert won that businessman just like that to God. And the businessman ran and picked me up and swung me around. He's so full of the joy of the Lord, the joy of His salvation. But see, if you'll lift your hand and say, I am the righteous of God, say it in Christ. Say it again, I am the righteous of God in Christ. I am the righteous of God in Christ. Now, if you're honestly, you're not trying to cover up, you're not hypocritical, you're not in an imaginary world, but you're seeking God, what happens? The Holy Spirit starts working that in your mind, your heart, your spirit, and even your physical body. That's why it said, give Him the sacrifice of joy. It's hard to do. But in Deuteronomy 28, way up there about verse 65 or 70, it said, verse 47, serve the Lord thy God with joy. Philippians, the whole book says rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. It said you'll serve God, and so does Joel, the first chapter. Notice the natural and the supernatural. They have a bearing on each other. He said, all of your fields lie in waste and all, your harvest, your grains. And it said, why? Joy has ceased from among men. That caused it. That's not a result of it. That caused it. And here in Deuteronomy and in the first chapter Joel, it said, if we don't serve the Lord our God with joy, you remember the old song, joy unspeakable and full of glory, then we'll serve our enemies. I've made it plain before here at the camp. Your enemies today are not the Hittites, Midites, Egypt, Egyptians, this, that, and the other. This is not an all-inclusive list, but let me list seven major enemies you and I have. And we've got to put them underfoot. God created man. Psalms 8 chapter, Hebrews 2nd chapter. What is man? Not who, but what is man? That thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou did visit him. Thou hast created him a little lower than the gods. One place angels, the other place gods. Thou hast placed all things under his feet, and he is to rule and be in dominion over all things. But Psalm 2nd chapter said we don't see all things yet. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. But that's the first enemy Jesus destroyed. 2 Timothy 1:10, he said that Christ brought to light through the gospel. Listen to this, through the gospel. Same gospel you and I are supposed to preach and teach and believe and obey. It said that Christ brought to light through the gospel immortality. You have everlasting life, but immortality is a different thing. I didn't say it. The Word of God said it. Presently, immortality. Here's some of the enemies. Number one, if we don't serve the Lord our God with joy, get up with joy, stay full of joy, confess joy, speak joy. All right? Number one, sin. You'll be a servant of sin. Number two, sickness and disease. You find someone bellyaching, complaining all the time, and I'll guarantee you, if they weren't sick, they will be. If you act like an invalid, talk like an invalid, think like an invalid, we'll have an invalid on our hands. So, sin. Number two, sickness, disease. Number three, demon power. Don't be afraid of the devil or demon power. The Bible said that God has delivered us from the fear of bondage. God has not given us, 2 Timothy 1:7, the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Don't say, oh, I'm losing my memory. Keep confessing it and you won't even know who you are. Don't do it. Say, I rebuke this in Jesus' name. I have the mind of Christ. Sin, sickness, disease, demon power. You shouldn't be afraid of demons. They should be afraid of you. In my name, they'll cast out demons. Number four, fear itself. One of the great needs of the church today and believers is to get out of fear. We can confess it. Well, I fear this will happen. I fear that. Well, that's sin. Come on, Fido. Fido, where are you? Number five, the old man. I said that the Bible does not teach two natures. And that's a subject in itself, and I shouldn't even mention it today. I mean, it would take over an hour to go into the Word of God. True believers are not walking two different directions. Jesus said, if we follow Him and obey Him. But if you're struggling against the flesh, you're fighting the wrong battle. Paul said in Ephesians 6 chapter, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That includes your own flesh and blood. Anyway, everybody talks about the carnal man and the old flesh and how dirty and... Really? 1 Corinthians 3 chapter and 1 Corinthians 6 chapter said, know ye not that your body is a temple, your flesh is the temple of the Holy Spirit? What? The Bible again said in Hebrews, I think it's 2:10, he that sanctifieth and he that is sanctified is one. That's not in unity. That's in essence. God is holy, sanctified. I become one with Him. We're both sanctified. In John, the 17th chapter, Christ prayed seven prayers, the true Lord's, five prayers, the true Lord's Prayer. He lifted up, John 17 chapter, he lifted up his eyes, looked up, learn to pray with your eyes open, learn to pray. Don't always, now there's a time to bow and prosper before God and humble herself. But Christians shouldn't go around praying to God like this. Then why do you get up and everybody stomp the devil under your feet? Jesus looked up. Everybody, every preacher says, every head bowed in prayer. Well, I don't try to defy, but many times I find myself, before the prayer is over, looking up and praying to God. God is not under my feet, I'm under His. So Jesus prayed there five times, not for unity. I've heard minister meeting after minister meeting right here in Hot Springs, and they always bring that up and say, we need unity. Unity is a product of oneness. Unity is friendship with the brother on the natural plane, horizontal. Oneness is the vertical plane. When I become one with God and His Son, you become one with God and His Son. We meet. We already know who each other is. And it's like we've known each other. Yes, known each other a lifetime. That is the oneness of God. So, the other thing, not only sin, sickness, disease, you ought to have your foot on, get up and claim it every day. Speak it. Demon power, fear, the flesh, and then another enemy is poverty. Poverty might be the word used about seven ways. And you ought to think of poverty as the last thing is financial wealth, not the first. Poverty of spirit, of mind, of soul, of usefulness. People will quote, you know, and I was preaching for William Hinn down in Orlando years ago, and when I happened to mention the scripture, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, I got a lot of amens. Then I stood there, God spoke to me and told me three things. I began weeping. And an usher got up and took his handkerchief and came up and said, "Here, Brother Clement." And he said, "I'm sorry, you have a cold." I said, "I don't have a cold. I was weeping from here to here and finally it's coming out." Don't belittle weeping. If you haven't wept in a long time, get along with God and surrender yourself and weep before Him. It'll wash out your soul and your spirit and your mind. Weep before God. But God showed me, for example, we fly in jet planes. We don't own any. You might have seen me in Hot Springs in a great big black long limousine. I didn't own it. I didn't pay for it. I didn't even want to ride in it. But circumstances and situations and so forth, if you travel with me overseas, it's almost unbelievable how God ends up putting me with presidents, governors, dictators, prime ministers, and I never ask. And it's not the local ministers. No, if they hear about it, they want to get in on it and go with me. They don't even believe it's happening. And I don't ask anyone, "Oh, do you know the prime minister? I want to get with him. I want to with..." No. God knows what he's doing. I believe in the sovereignty of God. But the wealth of the wicked is not laid up that all of us can drive as one minister's preaching here. Before long, we're all going to be driving Cadillacs. Well, I don't like Cadillacs. I do like a dependable car. And we wear cars out, and certain individuals here, they know in about 2.5 years or 3 years, it's domino effects with the repairs, and we almost need, quickly need another one. But it's not that the wealth goes to you or me. The wealth is laid up that the righteous doesn't have to own a jet plane. If God gives you one, that's all right. But I know you'll have to pay a pilot $75,000 a year up, and a co-pilot, and sometime a navigator. And I know that you'll have to put that in a hangar to protect it. And I think, finally, bottom line, I don't think you're using God's money properly when there's so many people. Francis, I'm not bragging, but Francis and I have fed several families during December, not for a claim. You just silently, quietly do these things for the kingdom of God. You remember the love chapter? Love does, and then it hides itself away in the shadows. You don't have to be acknowledged. Someone else can get all the credit, and you're not peeved, you're not hurt. But the wealth laid up is that you could eat the finest food. We've been out to the country club here probably 10 or 12 times. Hadn't cost me a dime. It's hard to turn down sometimes, you know. "Well, I want you to be there." Well, we're there if we can make it. And we witness to the upper class, the underclass, we treat them all the same. They're a human being with an eternal soul, and all of us need God. But you see, these enemies, if you don't serve God with joy, will crop up in your life. You'll be serving sin, sickness and disease, demon power, one way or another. You know, there's demonic possession, there's demonic obsession, and demonic oppression. Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. All right. Then there's the enemy of fear, the enemy of the flesh, and the enemy of poverty, and then the enemy of death. Jesus has already conquered death. Amen. The church has got to bring under its feet Ephesians 2nd chapter, our first chapter, near the end of the chapter. It said that Christ there is seated in the heavenlies, and the church is seated there with Him. 2nd chapter, and in Colossians, it said we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Now, we don't have sense enough to know. And in Psalms 110, Yahweh said to my Yahweh, doesn't make sense, does it? Jehovah said to my Jehovah, sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Rule in the midst of thy enemies. I'm not talking about the millennial reign. I'm not talking about a golden age out there. I'm talking about right now. Rule in the midst of thy enemies. The church should be seated in the heavenlies with Christ, ruling today in the midst of these enemies. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. But Jesus already conquered death. See, death, John Owen, I believe in 1500 and something, wrote a book. It's a thick classic, The Death of Death. When Christ left this earth, the death of death had already happened. Death has already been destroyed. And He brought through the gospel, I use that scripture, the light of immortality. Now death has been destroyed. It hasn't been cast into hell yet. I explained that one time here at the camp 7 or 8 years ago. Say there's a big serpent out. You kill it. You come on into meeting. Then you say, well, I've got to get rid of that. There's a bonfire over there and you carry it and throw it. You see, Christ has already destroyed death. But later, death is going to be cast into hell, the Bible says, like a dead serpent. And He said He has already delivered us from the fear of death. Don't make a covenant with death. Make a covenant with life, because Jesus is the life giver. I am come that ye might have life, and ye might have it more abundantly. So finally, even death. Now watch. Christ put all these seven enemies I've mentioned, and there may be more. I don't propose that's all inclusive. All right. He put them under His feet. The church has got to put them all under the feet. Hebrews says that Christ is anxiously awaiting to come back again, but He wants all things under His feet. The church should have victory over sin. Church should have victory over sin and sickness and disease. The church, why? In Ephesians 5:26, it said Christ loved the church. Why? That He might present it to Himself. That's nothing to do with the rapture or presenting it to God. Present it to Himself. That means sit alongside Him. That He might have a what? Glorious church. Reads the original literally. A church of glory. One of the great things God's going to do in this last day of time is restore the Shekinah glory to this world. 500 years ago, God said, I'm a righteous God, and you can be made righteous. That sparked the revelation of God, a righteous God. He's always been a righteous God, but He reemphasized it. And that started the just shall live by faith, the Great Reformation. 300 years ago, God said, I'm not only a righteous God, I'm a holy God. The Oxford group and John and Charles Wesley believed that revelation. And with every revelation of God, every great move of God doesn't start with what God does. It starts with who God is. Then the Holy Spirit accompanies that revelation to perform a work. It's God who first, then it's God does what. It's who God is, then the hand of God. And so you, be ye holy, for I am holy. You heard that the first night here at the camp. What true holiness means. All right. Then 200 years ago, God said, I'm not only a righteous God, but I'm a holy God, and I'm God the Holy Spirit. That's approximately the year 1900, before and after. And also in England and in America, God said, I'm also the Holy Spirit. You've ignored it. What did that bring? The so-called Pentecostal revival. What is the result of it? God is a holy, God is the Holy Spirit. It is that you and I can be filled. God wants us to to be not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit of God and live a Spirit-filled life. You say, bless God, I walk in the Spirit. Do you? The Bible said in Galatians 5:22, the fruit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit, and here it goes, just what I preach to you, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Read it. If you've got the Holy Spirit, those things ought to be in your life. Every day of your life, it ought to just be flowing out of you. Not something you're trying to do and hold on and all of that. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm going to quickly close. But let me... Anybody getting anything out of this? Well, I'm not trying to be a claim. But still, some of you look like you're real tired or you're startled. You can't believe what you hear. It's the truth. It's the truth. The so-called Lord's Prayer, you and I know it. I quote it every day, every night. Our Father. Sometime I stay on that a long time. Hallowed be thy name. Sometime I'm on that a long time. But anyway, the so-called benediction. They're very important. In the Word of God. Paul had three of them in 1 Corinthians, the last chapter, three benedictions. And finally he told them there's still a mystery that you don't know, but God's going to reveal it to you, and that is the glory is going to be restored, and Christ is not only the head of the church, He's the chief cornerstone of a spiritual temple. Peter showed the potentiality and said, you're lively stones. Christ's the head of the church, but He's chief cornerstone of a spiritual house. They're not the same. Read Ephesians 2nd chapter, the last few verses. It's said that you're no longer strangers and pilgrims, but you're fellow yokemen, founded upon the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And it said there that the church groweth. I know you've never heard a sermon on this. No one preaches it. One of the speakers here at the camp said, that's not in the Bible, Clement. Well, I didn't write the Bible. There it is. And I went in different translations. It's there. It said, the church groweth unto a holy temple for the habitation of God the Father. Where His name is, He said, my Shekinah glory and my presence will be. So in the Lord's Prayer, oh, there's so much God brings to mind right now. In the Lord's Prayer, the benediction is, for thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power, and thine is the glory. Well, Brother Clement, I believe in giving God all the glory for everything. So do I, but you can't give God something you don't have. Did you hear me? God won't share His glory with any man. The Bible doesn't say that. It said in Isaiah 42 and 46, God will not share His glory with another. Read the rest of the verse. Graven images and idols. Did you hear it? Verse 46, God said, I won't share my glory, but read the whole chapter, with another nation. I've already picked up Israel. And they're stubborn and rebellious, but I'm going to go ahead in this dispensation with the Hebrew people, the Israelites. If you don't believe God will shed His glory, you've heard that all your life. I heard it in Sunday school class. Earliest rumor. And remember, boys and girls, God doesn't share His glory with anyone. Really? I already gave you Psalms 8 in Hebrews 2nd chapter. Said, what is man? And it said, thou hast crowned him with honor and what? And glory. God originally. It's God's idea, not mine. In Jesus' prayer there in John 17, chapter verse 22, He said, Father, this glory, He had been praying, that I had before the foundation of the world, give it back now because I've done these things. I've revealed the name. That name wasn't Jesus. He had... It belongs to Jesus, but that name is not Jesus. The name above every name. Study. I don't know one theologian on earth that believes the Bible that would teach that Jesus is the name Gabriel and Mary gave the babe child. But the name that God gave him was eternal. Read John 8:24, 8:26, and 8:57-58. Before Abraham was, I am. If you don't believe that, he said, if you won't believe that I am the I am, it didn't say he, that's been added, the great I am, you'll die in your sins. When I'm uplifted on the cross, you'll know that I am. Before Abraham's day was, I am. Here he said in the Lord's Prayer, the benediction, for thine is the kingdom. I want you to lift your hand and say, mine is the kingdom. You say, brother, what authority do I have? Kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus said in Luke 12, I believe verse 32, somewhere there you'll read. He said, fear not, little flock. I give unto you what? The kingdom. See, he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem and you'll be endued with power from on high. But every speaker gets up for years here and say, I don't have anything. I'm nothing. Well, we know we're nothing. Without God, we can do nothing. But he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is upon you. Lift your hand and say, mine is the power. See? Mine is the kingdom. Mine is the power. And Jesus said, Father, this glory you gave me before the foundation of the world, I share with believers. That is John 17:22. He always did the Father's will. If it's not God's will to restore the Shekinah glory and the glory upon man, then Jesus and the Father were fighting each other. God forbid such ridiculous thing. He said, I give this glory, I'm sharing it with my believers. Brother, that's what he says there in verse 22. So, lift your hand and say, mine is the kingdom. Mine is the power. And mine is the glory. God bless you. I hope you've been inspired to draw closer to Jesus. Be faithful and be not weary in well-doing. You and I will reap if we faint not. And pray every day that since the harvest is white and the labors are few, the true labors, they're not trying to build their kingdom, their ministry, their this, that, and the other. They're trying to build His kingdom, His ministry. But Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look. The fields are white unto harvest. Jeremiah 8:20 said, the harvest is past, the summer is ending, and we are not saved. Jesus said, pray that the Lord God of the harvest will send forth laborers. I believe I pray that every day. Lord, send forth, raise up and send forth laborers unto the harvest. I am, you are, because He is. Would you stand, please? How many people believe you've heard the truth? Do you believe the truth you've heard? Lord, we thank you. You said the law of the prophets is on two hinges. Love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Lord, we want to just become love like God. Love doesn't mean that anything and everything goes. It doesn't mean compromise, but the love of God constraineth us. I pray for sanctification of the food, and you said, bless the Lord of my soul and all that is in me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord of my soul and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.